Hi, this is Pastor Matt, and I want to welcome you to our Blue Oaks Church podcast. At the end of this episode, feel free to download our Blue Oaks Church app, where you'll be able to access resources, events, and ways to get connected at Blue Oaks and in the community. The app is the easiest way to share this content with a friend, and it's the easiest way to keep up with everything going on around Blue Oaks. Most importantly, though, I just hope that you enjoy this episode and it inspires you to take your next step in your faith journey. Hey, good morning. I'm glad you decided to join us today, and I want to say hi to those who are watching us online. We're in a series called In All Things God Works. We're looking at the reality that a lot of things happen in our lives that are out of our control. We looked last week at this classic statement from the Apostle Paul, and I asked that we would just live with this statement throughout this series. And the idea is we can memorize this statement so that we take it with us everywhere we go, and it just becomes a part of who we are. So I want to ask you to say it with me out loud as we begin this message. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. We said all things happen to people, whether we believe in God or don't believe in God. We all live in the same world. Sometimes things don't work out the way that we want, but God is at work in all of those things. And that's the good news. He is working for the good. That doesn't mean that I get whatever good circumstance I want. That means God wants to do good things in my character to produce the character of Jesus in me. God wants to use good circumstances, and God wants to use bad circumstances to produce good things in me. And we can know this. We don't just guess it. We don't just hope for it. We can actually live in this knowledge. In this series, I want us to learn how to find that in all things, in all of the things, in all of the moments that we live in this life, in all of our circumstances, God is at work. And today I want to talk about a very important way that God is at work. This is something God gives to us that is out of our control, and that is God is at work in healing. Some time ago, I was doing chores around the house that involved a hammer, and I accidentally hammered my thumb as hard as I could. And immediately, my body began this incredible series of responses. Through a process called nociception, my body sent tremendous pain signals to my brain saying, stop hitting yourself with a hammer. Then these little platelets traveled to the area where the wound was, and they began the clotting process. And that both stops the bleeding and it keeps infection from getting into my body. And then the next phase, something called polymorphonuclear neutrophils flooded into that area. I practiced saying that all week. They began to eat at the bacteria. They did that for a couple of days. They were like the heroes. And then something called macrophages came like Pac-Man, and they just began to eat them. And then there was this final phase of healing that's actually called the remodeling phase, where new tissue replaces old tissue. And what's astounding about all of this is my body just did this. And I don't even know what it is. Like, I don't understand it. Somehow my body did it. I didn't do it. You see, God is at work in healing. And I learned two great lessons through this process. One of them is never do chores around the house involving a hammer, or really any chores at all, because something could happen that would prevent me from being here with you. So I love doing chores, but I told my wife, I just need to not do those things that would potentially prevent me from being here with you. So that was one lesson. The other one is that God is at work in the healing process. It's out of my control. It's not always what I want. It's not always when I want it. It's not always how I want it. And sometimes I'm left with scars. Sometimes I'm left with a bump, like when I broke my collarbone. It's an amazing thing about our world. God is at work in healing, and it's not just in our bodies. I was having lunch with a firefighter recently, and he was talking about how we can go through parts of the earth where there's been tremendous fire and everything is ugly and charred, but then there's this little miracle, like these little green sprouts start to shoot up all over the place. I learned a while ago that these giant sequoia trees have in their pine cones seeds that will release new life, new trees, only if there's a tremendous fire. It's like God has built healing into the way the earth works. God is at work in healing. The people of Israel a long time ago came to believe this as something real significant about the kind of person God is. And one of the ways you can divide up the human race is there are savers and there are throwers. If something breaks down and you're a thrower, you just get rid of it. Every marriage generally has one of each. And some time ago, our oldest daughter got fish in her room. She keeps them in her room. And one day a fish appeared to be kind of sick near the top of the water. And my wife said to me, "I don't think that fish is doing very well." And I just said, "Well, let's just get rid of it and get a new one before she gets home from school." There was a table that had been in Kathy's family for a long time, and it was kind of a beat-up table. It didn't really fit into our house anywhere. And my wife said, "You know, can we store it in the garage somewhere?" And I was like, "Why don't we just get rid of it?" My wife doesn't ask me about these kinds of things anymore because she knows what category I fit into. In Israel, they came to believe God is a saver. When God makes things and they break down, God wants to save them. And that makes God a healer. God is at work in healing. Israel would express this in the most amazing ways that I want us to just live with today. God says to Israel, "You yourself have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." They love this. This is such a beautiful picture. If a mom has a little baby eagle and it's too little to fly or the wing gets broken, it'll tuck that little eagle into her great big wing and fly with her. And this has become an important image of God's protection and God's healing. This is from the writer of Psalms. "Under his wings you will find refuge." Our God is a healer. The word for wing in Hebrew, like under God's wing, is the word kanaf. It's also the word used for the corner of a garment. A devout Jewish rabbi would wear a prayer shawl. They still do. And at the bottom of the prayer shawl, they would have these tassels, all kinds of tassels that would remind them of the commandments of God. Because these commandments were something that offered them the protection and the healing of God. Rabbis would eventually come to talk about how we obey these commandments because they exist for the healing of the world. And the corner of those prayer shawls was called the kanaf. Over time, a wonderful tradition was born in Israel. "Unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings." Over time, there arose this idea in Israel that when the Messiah would come in his kanaf, in his prayer shawl, in the corner of his garment, there would be healing in his wings. In December, we sing a Christmas carol, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." And one of the lines is, "Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings." God is at work in healing. They just believed this in Israel. And every once in a while, God would act in remarkable ways, and there would be miracles. There would be healings. And they're not spread at random throughout the Bible, but periodically, especially in an important era when God was going to reveal something about his kingdom, a king named Hezekiah receives healing. A man who is not even from Israel named Naaman is healed of leprosy. God is at work in healing. One day, a rabbi named Jesus entered this world. And he was a teacher, but he was also a healer. Healing was a fundamental part of his ministry because he was giving a foretaste of what God was going to do when God finally heals the world. This is his story. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, Jesus, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had on those doctors. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. And this gives us a little peek behind the scenes of the gospel writers for a moment. This is the Gospel of Mark. This story is told in 3 out of the 4 Gospels. Luke also tells the story. But when Luke tells the story, you can read this sometime later if you want, he leaves out the part about this woman suffering a great deal under the care of many doctors. Luke leaves out the part about her spending all the money that she had on doctors. Does anyone know what Luke did for a profession? He was a doctor. Yeah, he just decided, no, I don't really like that part, and so he left it out. Imagine being this woman, 12 years. She suffers physically from anemia. She's weak, no energy. She suffers financially. She lost everything she had. Everything was gone. She may be a beggar by now. She suffers spiritually. You know, the law in the Old Testament was very clear about this. If she was in a state where there was a constant problem of bleeding, that meant that she was unclean. And that meant that anyone she touched was unclean. That meant that the bed where she slept was unclean. The chair that she sat on was unclean. If you sat on the chair after she sat on it, you would be unclean. There was a stigma attached to uncleanness. And she would have heard all the dumb things that people say to someone who is suffering. You know, if you just had enough faith, you wouldn't suffer. You must have sinned, you know. Maybe you did something wrong. God must be displeased with you about something. I mean, she lived with that for 12 years. Maybe she was a mom. Most women were. That would mean that she couldn't touch her children. If she did, they would be considered unclean. Imagine never being able to tuck your children in at night, never being able to give them a hug, never giving them the care a mother longs to provide. If a little child falls and scrapes a knee, that child will always go to their mom. What do they want their mommy to do? Kiss it and make it better. She couldn't do that. If she did that, that would make them unclean. There's a good chance she was married, but her husband couldn't touch her, or else he would be considered unclean. Maybe by now she's lost her marriage. I imagine every night before she goes to sleep, she prays, God, would you just heal me? And every morning when she wakes up, and some of you know what this is like, she thinks, maybe today God will heal me. And every day she realizes it's not going to happen today. And then she hears about this rabbi Jesus, this healer who is coming. And when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I could just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. She gets this crazy idea. She hears that a healer is coming and she thinks, if I could just touch him, I might be healed. Kind of a loose association. There was a woman in the early days of television who was always coming up with crazy ideas. Her name was Lucy. Any of you watch I Love Lucy? Well, anytime a celebrity or a well-known person came into her world, she would get some harebrained idea. She would disguise herself or do something sneaky to get to be with that person without her husband finding out. And of course, Ricky always found out. And Ricky would always say the same thing to her. Lucy, you got some splaining to do. Well, this woman, we might call her Lucy, gets this crazy idea. I'm going to track down this healer, and I'm going to get some healing. And she approaches Jesus because she's bold, but she approaches him from behind. All 3 gospel writers include this detail in the story. She came up from behind him because she was afraid. She says, if I could just touch him. You see, touching is something we often do with someone we want something from. There's a church that has their whole welcome team wear all the same t-shirt. And on the back of the t-shirt, they have a little patch that says, tap here if I can help. Initially, they put that on the shirt because they thought it would just be kind of a funny thing. But it ends up, they're tapped all the time. Sometimes just to find out, like, hey, how are you going to be able to help me? There's just something about touching someone. Like, if you get bored during this message, just start tapping the person next to you and see what happens. This woman gets this idea, if I can just touch his clothes. Now, why does she do that? You see, it's not just clothes. It's the corner of his garment. It's the corner of his prayer shawl. It's the kanaf. You see, it may well be that this woman is thinking, out of everyone in Israel, like she's the only one who gets it. This is the one we've been waiting for with healing in his wings. It could just be a touch of his kanaf. I could just touch the corner of his garment. She looks at Jesus, and on his prayer shawl, she sees a little patch that says, "Touch here if I can help." And she does. It's an amazing story. And then we read, immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. I just imagine that. This is like an unbelievable electric moment. I mean, she must have thought, like, this is what it feels like to be normal. This is what it feels like to be whole. This is what it feels like to be made well. She thought, I got what I came for. I got healing from Jesus. It's the end of the story. But it's not. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciple answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. It's an incredible story. We see with Jesus both this remarkable power, but we see also his humanity. Healing strength goes out from him, and he knows it's from God, but he's also human. So he doesn't know who received it. And so he says, "Who touched me?" And the disciples go, "You've got to be kidding me. I mean, there are people all around you. Who touched you?" Like, maybe it was Peter, I don't know. And Jesus knows something, someone in this crowd knows what he's talking about. And he looks around, and this woman knows he's talking about her. And she looks at Jesus, and Jesus looks at her, and Jesus says, "Lucy, you got some explaining to do." And she falls at his feet, and she's scared to death because now she knows she broke the law. She touched him. She made him unclean. And then there's this remarkable phrase, "She told him the whole truth." And I would have loved to have been there for that. That little word, "whole," she told him the whole truth. And I just want to say to anyone who needs healing, we're going to have a time available after this message for anyone who wants healing in any way. But you need to understand this. You don't really get healing with Jesus before you tell the whole truth. This woman just falls at his feet. She just pours out the whole truth to him. Whatever it was for her. "Jesus, I gave up so long ago. I didn't have enough faith. I didn't really believe. I didn't pray like I should have. I haven't been the kind of mom that I should have been. I have no money at all. I'm a failure physically, I'm a failure financially, I'm a failure spiritually." And then she just waits. And she's terrified because she doesn't know what's going to happen, but she knows that she broke the law, she knows that she made him unclean, and he's a rabbi. What's he going to do? And she's shaking in fear. And Jesus said to her, "Daughter," no one has called her daughter for a long time, "your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." When he says daughter, he means that she's a daughter of Israel. He means that she is a daughter of God. And I was wondering as I was reading through this story, like, why does Jesus do this? Like, this woman got healing. That's what she wanted. She was suffering. She got healing. That's what she was looking for. End of story, right? Like, why does he embarrass her? Why does he make her talk with him face to face in front of this whole crowd? I believe it's because Jesus wants her to have more than just a physical healing. He wants her to know the healer. And he wants to know this woman. I think there's something about this woman that Jesus wants to know, which reveals something profound about Jesus, and that is, with Jesus, it's okay to not be okay. With Jesus, that means here in this room, that means for us, that means for our church, it's okay to not be okay. You don't have to be okay. In fact, Jesus kind of specializes in people who are not okay. In fact, people who think they're okay don't always connect well with Jesus. Okay, let's go back to the story. This passage of scripture begins with a wealthy synagogue leader named Jairus coming and asking Jesus if Jesus would heal someone in Jairus' home. And so they're on their way, and that's when they get interrupted by this woman, this anonymous woman. And this actually happens fairly often in the Gospels. Just a side note here, Mark will do this quite a bit in the Gospel of Mark. He'll have one story happening inside of another story, and it's sometimes called a Markan sandwich. In Luke, we might call it a Lucan Twinkie. No Twinkie fans here, all right? It's like that surprising white, creamy, wonderful filling inside that makes the golden, spongy outside so good. Anyway, my father-in-law is a huge Twinkie fan. I'm sure he would have appreciated that. Anyway, with a story like this, we have to ask, why are these two stories set together? What's the relationship between them? And that's when we understand not just each story by itself, but something much more beautiful and much deeper and surprising about Jesus that the gospel writers want us to know. And here it's the contrast between the two. Jairus gets there first. By this time, Jairus is probably thinking, hey, lady, take a number. I was here before you. But he's a man. His name is Jairus. He has money because he has servants. He has status. He's a leader in the synagogue. On the other hand, we have this second story within the story. And we have this woman. We don't know her name. She's anonymous. She has no status at all. She has no money. We know she's given away everything that she has to the doctors. She's considered unclean. Jairus is somebody, and this anonymous woman is nobody. And Jesus interrupts the somebody to be with the nobody. You see, what the writer of Scripture is telling us is with Jesus, nobodies become somebodies. With Jesus, the first become the last, and the last become the first. That's why we have this fabulous story where he's going to help Jairus. Jairus is a somebody. And everyone knows that. Everyone expects that. And then he helps this woman. This woman's a nobody. In the kingdom, nobodies become somebodies. In the kingdom, nobody is a nobody. In the kingdom, you are not a nobody. I don't know what you need healing for. I don't know how long you've needed healing. I don't know what's going on in your life. But I know this. God is at work in healing. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. And as we get ready in this service to go to God for healing, I just want to ask you, where do you need healing? Where do you need God to touch you? Our God is a healing God. And I just want you to hear a story about how God is at work in healing today. This is Sarah's story.
I didn't know God. I didn't know how great he is. I didn't know he's a God who can deliver and set me free until I say a prayer one day in my room. I say, God, I'm going to give you the sins that I cannot help myself with. Please help me. And a week later, I noticed I lost the desire to sin. I tried to duplicate my sin for 2-3 weeks. I just couldn't do it. And I knew God set me free. I started to pray for healings, and I started to see miracles happen in my life and in my family. I know there are so many miracles happen, but I feel like people will be like, But healing is real. Healing still happens, and it happens. I see it. I see it every day of my life. Because when I pray for myself, when I pray for my family, I see that the healing process shortens. You know, like my daughter, she sprained her ankle. I pray for her. I didn't know that how long it would take for an ankle to be healed after the spring. Her ankle was swelling and everything. 2 days, don't completely heal. She was able to walk normal. I have suffered for 5 years, my psoriasis. It has been a very painful disease to me. I pray for God to take it away. And God answered, I was supernaturally healed. And my son, who has severe nut allergies, he almost died. And the doctor said he would never be able to eat nuts for the rest of his life. And with God's mercy, he is able to eat all kinds of nuts. It's just unbelievable. I have not hugged him for 15 years, ever since he was diagnosed with autism and with all the interventions and the training. I have been very bitter and strict mom because he had a lot of behavior issues. And I wasn't able to even hug him. I wasn't able to love him. I didn't even know if I still love him. I went on fasting and prayed for him. I say, God, I'm not going to eat until you answer my prayer to heal Max. I know you are God who can heal. I have seen it. You know, you have healed me. You have healed many of others. And I say, I'm not going to eat until you answer me. And right on that day, the teacher say, your son is very unusual today. He say, I have been his teacher for 2 years and I have never seen that this happen. He doesn't talk today at all. He's autistic and he talks nonstop every day, every minute, every moment. And so the teacher was very concerned. I just melt down. So I say sorry to God. I say, God, you know, if you are not gonna heal him, just give my son back to me, the one before yesterday, before my prayer. At that moment, I knew I love my son so much. I say, it's okay. He can be who he is. I will just love him and accept him. My son is still autistic, but from that day on, we saw a lot of improvements, a lot of breakthroughs. He used to be obsessed with skins. That's why I couldn't hug him and inappropriate behaviors. So with God's mercy, God took that away. I'm able to hug him and I hug him every day. And I just enjoy who he is. God has revealed himself to me in a way that I have no more doubts that he's a good God. He listens to prayer, he's powerful, he can deliver, and he heals. He heals me inside out. He gave me a new heart and a new life. Words just cannot express how grateful I am and how lucky I am, how lucky we all are to have a God like that, who is good, who is powerful, who can rescue and deliver, can help us in all aspects of our life.
Jesus said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. I'm telling you, our God is a God who heals. I mean, I could stand up here and talk about all the ways that God has healed me. I'm sure if we had a time where, you know, people could come up here from this room and talk about the ways that God has healed you, we could spend here all day. J.R.R. Tolkien, the guy who wrote The Lord of the Rings, he loves the idea that God is a healer. Tolkien was a Christ follower, and if you ever read his work, you know there's this image that surfaces quite often about wounding or scars. Over and over, the image of a wound that needs to be healed, like, surfaces in his stories. And I love this line from Tolkien. Tolkien says, for it is said in old lore, the hands of the king are the hands of a healer, and so shall the rightful king be known. The hands of a king are the hands of a healer. And Tolkien writes about how in the ancient world, it was thought that the king had the power to heal, always because of their power, always because of their greatness, always because of their great strength, except for one king who came with healing in his wings. He doesn't heal out of his strength. For he took up our pain and bore our suffering. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. It's by his wounds that we are healed. By the head that bore a crown of thorns and bled, by the back that bore the splintered cross, by a side that was pierced with a sword, by hands that had nails driven through them. The hands of the king are the hands of a healer. God is at work through healing. And you know, we're not in control of this. We're not in control of our lives. We're not in control of anything. But God is at work in all things, and he wants to heal. And so here's my question for you today. Where do you need healing? What we're going to do in just a moment when I'm through talking is there will be some music playing, and we're going to be singing together. And there will be people from our elder board and from our staff and our prayer team and other people that I've asked to be here. And if you want, you can just slip out of the row that you're in while we're all singing and just come forward. And we just want to pray for healing in your life. And I want to say, if you're watching online, you can just text prayer to the number that's on the screen and someone will call you this week to pray for you. Maybe you need healing of a broken heart. Maybe you need healing from a broken relationship or because you've suffered a really bad loss. Maybe there's a failure that just weighs on you and you've been not willing to tell the whole truth. And so you carry that in secret and it just keeps weighing on you. It gets heavier every year. Maybe there's guilt. Maybe there's shame. Maybe there was an abortion or maybe there was an affair. Maybe you've been abused. Maybe you were neglected. Maybe you were fired from a job. Maybe you feel like you're doing so badly in something. Maybe you're a parent and you just feel like, I'm such a failure as a mom. I mean, I can't touch my child the way I want to. Maybe you feel like I can't reach out to my mom or my dad. We're just going to have a time of healing in this room today. The band's going to play a song, and I'm just going to invite anyone who wants to come forward. And I know this is kind of different. I know we don't usually do this kind of stuff, but this is just going to be a time where if you want to come, there will be a number of us that just want to pray for you. Just name the whole truth before God. Have someone lay hands on you and just pray for healing. And I know some of you will be thinking, you know, I can't do that because if I do that, other people will see me and they'll think I'm not perfect. Well, listen, they already know you're not perfect. This is not a place where we cheer on perfect people. I mean, this is a place where we cheer on imperfect people who bring their imperfections and neediness to God. And we're going to pray for you because we know that all things, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. And we know the rightful king because there's healing in his wings. All right, let me pray now, and then the band's going to play. And please come forward if you would like prayer for healing in some area of your life. Would you join me in prayer? God, we're so grateful that Jesus came to walk this earth to live life the way that we live life. And he came primarily as our Savior, but his occupation on this earth was a teacher and healer. And the same way that he healed in those days when he walked this earth, he still brings healing in our lives today. And we believe that. And so we're just committing this next few moments to lift up ways that we need your healing touch. And we just pray that your spirit would be at work. You would be moving in a remarkable way, in a powerful way in this room in the next few moments. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, once again, thanks for listening. We hope you found something in this week's message to take away and apply to your life this week. If you live in the Bay Area, we would love to have you join us for one of our weekend services. We meet on Sunday mornings at 8:45, 10, and 11:15. For directions or information about what we have for you or your family, your students, you can go to blueoaks.church or download the app today.